Nashville Sports Radio.
Welcome back, Johnny Ballpark Franks with you. As a reminder, coming up just after 5, Barrett Salee, national college football writer with CBSSports.com. He's also a co-host on SiriusXM College Sports Channel 84. If you're just getting in your car, the Nashville Predators. Just what the doctor ordered. They were up 4-0 with less than a minute to go. Arizona 2 meaningless goals. It was the Predators now evening up this series, best 3 out of 5, with their 4-2 victory, and they'll be back in action tomorrow. Today was the first of 3 consecutive games for Nashville versus Arizona. We'll talk about that now as Kayla Anderson, award-winning sports reporter and anchor with News 2 WKRN-TV here in Nashville, joins us. Kayla, hope you're having a great day and welcome.
Yeah, I was definitely enjoying that game. And while I would have liked to have seen UC Saros with the shutout, his first in the postseason, you know what? I guess you can't have everything, right? So a 4-2 win, we'll take it.
You know, I was throwing this out earlier with the win now. Tomorrow, to me, especially when you're talking about back-to-back-to-back games, tomorrow, I just feel like whoever wins tomorrow will have a huge edge in this series, to the point where I can really see where tomorrow's winner will end up winning the series.
Yeah, that's what's so different about a 5-game series compared to a 7-game series. With those 7-game series, you have a little bit more time for that momentum to shift. Whereas in this series, I think you're right. With whoever wins tomorrow's game, I really think that they finish out the series, which goes to the point of how important this is now for the Nashville Predators to find some consistency. And that's something that they have not done a good job of this season. We've seen how much of a roller coaster ride it has been throughout the season. And I know this is just one series. But, you know, from one game to the other, they need to be able to find some sort of consistency here.
And the things that you like to see, for example, Nashville had more shots on goal. They had more hits. They won. It was almost they doubled and as far as winning the faceoffs. Nashville today 41 compared to Arizona's 21. And it was Arizona with more penalty minutes as well. Those are you want to be on the good side of all 4 of those stats right there.
Yeah, and it was crazy because Arizona actually was out shooting the Preds by a great amount in that first period. And while they were able to get on the board early in this one, it looked like Arizona was just getting more shots on goal. And then they really settled down in that second period. And you have to give, you know, UC Saros so much credit for giving them the opportunity to kind of feel like they can go out there and create some offense, because he's been so solid in between the pipes. And I guess give a lot of credit, too, to some of the guys up front putting their bodies on the line. I mean, I will say the amount of blocked shots today was pretty incredible, and that just goes to show the team effort today. I think that's really what you have to put this win on. As great as UC was, as good as, you know, the Jofa line was, all 3 of them now scoring in this series, it was really just an overall great team win.
Well, the most important part, knowing, I mean, you knew it, I knew it, but most importantly, the team knew it as well. I mean, this was one of those things where it was, you're playing for the season, because if you fall behind 2-0, that's it. You're not going to win 3 straight in a best 3 out of 5. And so the fact that they not only get the win, but the fact that they jumped out, had the 2-0 lead after the first 20, 3-0 after the first 2 periods, I mean, that was what you were looking for. But at the same time, it opens up the door, because if you're, I don't care what team you're talking about, what sport you're talking about, there's still some learning opportunities. And so you give the coach or manager, whatever sport we're talking about, the opportunity to point out some things that you can correct. So you get the joy of the win. At the same time, you still have the attention of the players.
Yeah, no, exactly. I think that the thing that I enjoyed about this game is that they had that 3-0 lead, but I didn't feel like they really let up at all as a team. I mean, I do feel until the last minute of the game, which was disappointing. I wish they could have finished a little stronger, but for the most part, the entire game, they were up in this game, and they were still playing extremely hard, which at times we've seen the Predators, when they have the lead, not do that.
Right.
So now they're going to get the opportunity because there is no time to really think about this one. It is kind of just moving on to the next one. But you're going to be able to see the things that you did right in this game, and hopefully that's one of those good short-term memories where you can carry that over and not forget about those good things. And the only really bad thing that you need to forget about, and maybe it'll help them, is at the end with the Coyotes making that push. Actually, maybe it'll wake them up even more, saying, hey, look, we cannot let up at any point of tomorrow's game.
Kayla Anderson joining us once again. All right, so throughout the summer, we've had the opportunity through Zoom meetings, not only talking to head coach Mike Vrabel with the Titans, but various players as well, assistant coaches also. What has stood out for you the most as we've heard from the players and the coaching staff as far as their expectations and their approach in dealing with this adversity as they prepare to take it a couple of extra steps as far as 2020?
Yeah, I just think the leadership of this group is what has stood out to me. Now, I wasn't able to be on the calls yesterday with Byard and Janu and Taylor, but I was on the call with Ryan Tannehill last week, and I know some of the stuff, obviously, that they were saying yesterday in terms of how serious they're taking all of this, just everything, the protocols, everything that goes along with making this year different. This group is trying to get out in front of it so that they can be as successful as they can be headed into the season. But what stood out to me was something that Ryan Tannehill said last week when he was talking to us. And he said, you know, the word sacrifice, this team has to be willing to make some sacrifices
right
off the field this year. And it really struck me just the way he said it. You know, this is a team game, and it's about more than what we do on the field, especially in 2020. And just reminding the guys, you know, it's going to be different. It's going to be tough when you go home. You can't do all these extra things that you're used to doing. But if we want to be successful as a team, if we want to be on the same page this season, we have to make those sacrifices. And I really thought that was a job well done, putting that message out right away from the leader on this team, Ryan Tannehill.
By the way, of all the players, that, and I'm thinking in the neighborhood of, 10 or so that we've had a chance to listen to and visit with and talk to, the surprise for me as far as the most mature answer about dealing with COVID-19 and keeping everybody healthy, and it's a surprise, but it's a good surprise because it shows us exactly what we need out of this individual, but it was Taylor Lewan. His newborn now today, I think it's 16 days counting today. Mm-hmm. And here's a guy saying, look, we're not college players. We're not high school players. We know what we're having to do. We know what our responsibilities are. And, you know, as far as, you know, staying safe, not going out and all those things. And he said for him, it's not going to be hard at all because he wants to protect his family and protect his newborn. And honestly gave one of the best answers that I've heard all summer.
Yeah, no, I think that Taylor Lewan has really showed us, you know, how much he's grown as not only a leader on this team, but just as a man, right? I mean, he has, you've seen him grow way more than I have. I mean, this is going into my fourth season covering the Titans, actually fifth, I think. But I've seen him just within the last few years, step it up in certain aspects, but I think the biggest growth has been from this last season to this season.
Let's say the last 11 months, all right? Let's don't give him too much credit now.
Yeah, I mean, but there's certain things. I think that he can come across as some people is rubbing people wrong, but I think if you understand him, I think you saw that this guy is a smart guy.
Right.
It just doesn't always come across that way, and now he's finally able to kind of, you know, come across that way is, okay, I am a leader. I know I can be a leader. I actually have to act that way now. And I think that was really great, you know, the stuff that he said. And it's true.
You know, the interesting thing, you brought up leadership, and we're talking about the leaders and the fact that, you know, it's really it stands out to me is that, you know, it's not just three or four players that are leaders now in that locker room. I mean, every unit, they have multiple leaders per se. And what that tells me, everybody on the same page. They know what their goal is at the end of the year. So to get there, they're not thinking about winning the AFC title and winning a Super Bowl. They're thinking about what you have to do in winning each and every day. But it's not just three or four players trying to get everybody else to pay attention. We're talking about double-digit number of players who are taking on somewhat of a leadership role. I mean, hearing Jonnu Smith talk yesterday and the growth that he has had since coming out of Florida International, for example. But the list goes on and on and on, because we were all concerned about, okay, now that you lose Delanie Walker and Jarrell Casey, Marcus Mariota, I mean, the list goes on as far as leadership in that locker room. You don't have to worry about that, because there's multiple players now taking on more responsibility from that standpoint.
Yeah, I think that those are the type of guys that John likes to bring into this locker room, are guys that kind of all believe in the same thing, right? I mean, they all believe in that hardworking mentality. And then when you're able to not only see that and them kind of buy into that, but then you're able to see these leaders grow out of it, I think that's the best part about this group. Because like you were saying, we were worried about a couple of these guys leaving, like Jarrell and Delanie, and then you just see these new leaders start to emerge, and some of them are really young, and they're still like out there and carrying themselves well and acting as leaders on this team. And you just can't ask for anything more out of this group. I haven't covered a ton of NFL teams, but I will say the leadership within that Titans locker room has always been really good, and it's really great to see it this year more than ever, Johnny, because that's when they're going to need it the most.
Kayla Anderson joining us. All right, your thoughts on Logan Woodside? I don't know how much you knew about Logan prior to having a chance to visit with him last week. And the fact that he's never attempted to pass an NFL game, well documented. Yep. In fact, other than Ryan Tannehill, nobody on that roster has done so. But I could see why people would follow him. You know, he came across incredibly well, and I could see where he would gain the confidence of his teammates. And he has certainly you would like to see him with more opportunities as far as preseason games, but that's not going to happen. So you'll have that chance as far as day-to-day, as far as training camp is concerned. But he really impressed me.
Yeah, we just don't hear a lot from him, right? Because he wasn't the backup. He was the backup to the backup. He was hurt at a good portion of last season, which was, we did find out, was his an injury on his throwing arm, and he looks to be good now. But, yeah, he was – I enjoyed him actually telling his story, because I didn't know a ton about him before, but he's gone through a lot of adversity in his football career. Every step from high school, where he had to transfer because they weren't going to let him be a quarterback, to college, where he had some, you know, hiccups and everything, and then finally finding a spot at Toledo where he was a starter and he was able to set a lot of records, which he still holds, and it kind of gave him that confidence, he said, going into this role with the Titans. And even though it wasn't specifically the backup role, he's done everything possible to bring knowledge about, you know, he knows about the offense. We've heard it from Arthur Smith firsthand, how much he sits there and studies film. I think even Arthur Smith said when he was hurt last season, he was kind of like a quasi like quarterback coordinator for them, right? You know, kind of helping them out, because that's how much this guy knows the offense and studies it and takes time to do everything he can to get this opportunity. And so now it's just about executing it. But from everything I heard from him, I was almost like, okay, I can see why the Titans want to give this guy a chance. Because they believe he can execute if called upon.
I mean, here's a guy, you're talking about his, the adversity that he has had to overcome. I mean, he's backing up Philip Ely at Toledo. Ely goes down with injury, so he's now the starter for an entire year. Ely's healthy, so then he gets redshirted, and he gets to watch because they wanted to protect him and give him the extra year. And then when he gets the chance, then he has to compete for the starting job with Ely now gone. And guess what? He wins the job, and he leaves Toledo as the MAC Player of the Year as far as offense. So, and this kind of same thing that happened to him there, he took that time and opportunity when he wasn't playing to learn as much as he could. He could have easily disappeared last year. Instead, he stuck around, paid attention, learned as much as he can, and now look, with this opportunity, you know, a thumbs up. He's the kind of guy that you really pull for, and you hope that this really works out well for him. Hey, Kayla, as always, we appreciate you so much. Do me a favor before we let you go, though. Remind everybody where they can keep up with all your coverage and also be able to like your stuff and show you love on social media.
Yes, you can follow me on Twitter, at Kayla Anderson TV. And then you can also follow me on Facebook, WKRN, Kayla Anderson. Just go over there, give me a like, and always have some really great stuff in terms of every sports and local sports. So appreciate the follow.
And we want the followers to keep on adding up there because we want to make sure that you get ahead of Corey Curtis.
Exactly. That's
all
the
right.
Most important part.
Hey, stay safe. All my best to you and your family, and we'll talk soon.
Thanks, Johnny.